it was, you know, it was a free service that you provided. And sometimes people don't value something that's free, whereas if they're financially invested, that could also be a factor.
They'll show up. Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one. The free obviously caused people to step back and, well, what's he going to really be asking me for? That was always coming up. You know, it's always like, what is he asking for? I'm not asking for anything. Welcome to the Motive for Life radio show. This is Robert Christensen. Thank you for joining me. I'm so happy this week to be joined by my intern, Cecil Clark. He's a young man who I ran into through an acquaintance who was looking to elevate his self-worth and didn't even know it. I'm so glad that he joined us over the last several months to help intern for our masterminds. And I wanted to get his take, having been in the front row seat of not only working with me, but also to see how the other people change through this process. All right, enjoy. What did you learn as a result of being an intern? First off, being my first intern here at Motive for Life, so you got Kristen, so you got to be dragged around in my inconsistencies and my nuances and stuff like that. But being part of this, you know, mastermind thing, what was that like for you?
It was great. I learned a lot. I really enjoyed the campaigns and learning about how you formed your narrative behind each email marketing campaign and everything that went in with that.
So what did you, so, okay, let's break that down. So if, you know, what does an intern do is really what the question is.
Yeah.
So when you first started and you jumped on with me, you know, we were talking about, you know, creating this mastermind that we ran. And we kind of just had to sort it out at the beginning. We kind of threw you deep into the pool there pretty quick. What was some of the bigger personal obstacles that you had to work through to, cause you got a day job, right? You know, you're working, making money and stuff like that. And then you come running into me. So what was some of the things that you had to figure out when you dove in?
Definitely time management was something I had to, you know, grow stronger in. I work, you know, like you mentioned, I work every day with my day job, and then I do handyman on the side. And then I added this extra piece to my day. So that was one of my biggest challenges at first.
I didn't know you did a bunch of handyman stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it.
What's your specialty?
Kind of anything. If I don't
know.
Okay,
that's not very specific, man. Down for me, Cecil.
Gotcha. Something that it's kind of broad, but anything that takes that's within like an hour to 2 hours that I can do in an afternoon. I've done some larger projects that drag over for a couple of weeks, but I've noticed that with working full time that I can't commit to spending 6 hours every afternoon to, you know, finish a large project for someone.
I see. So you were pretty much mechanically inclined, right? You're good with your hands working on stuff. This is pretty much the opposite of that as an intern.
Yes.
Right. So how was that learning new systems, like email systems and our Zoom back end and all that kind of stuff?
It was good. Some of the same things apply with being a handyman, like troubleshooting. If I don't know something, I'm not able to see something, I have to reach the support and troubleshoot it with them. So that kind of was something that overlapped between the two.
Oh, that's good, man. And so you had kind of a front row seat to the courses that we did. So we ran a men's only version on Wednesday. And then Thursday we had a mixed group, which was mostly women and some men. What were some of your observations between the two and what you were noticing between the groups?
For the men's, it had a different dynamic. It seemed like there was like a brotherhood that was almost formed. The men always like to see each other. They're more business oriented. You could just see the goals and everything that they were focused on. The co-ed one was a little more, everybody looked forward to seeing each other, but you could just tell that they had their own issues that they wanted to kind of talk about more. But they also were interested in the community as well and pooling the ideas and experiences together.
Yeah, I have to say that you know, the rooting for the other person on the Thursday night was more or overt, right? You know, the support for them. You know, I think that the way that men support each other is different, obviously. Definitely. You know, I think that was, that came through. So, you know, one of the things I had that was really interesting, we had over the 4-month period, about 70 plus people register for Wednesday night, but we only had people actually show somewhere between 20 to 25 on a given night, right? What do you think that is? Why do you think that worked out that way?
It could be multiple different things. It's during the week. So we're coming into the summers. So people could be working overtime. They could be traveling, family commitments. Some people may not be at that point yet where they've risen their self-worth to commit to something. And they may be challenging with internal struggles. It could also be, it was a free service that you provided. And sometimes people don't value something that's free. Whereas if they're financially invested, that could also be a factor.
They'll show up. Yeah. I got to agree with you on that one. The free obviously caused people to step back and, well, what's he going to really be asking me for? That was always coming up. You know, it's always like, what is he asking for? I'm not asking for anything.
Yeah. You know?
So that was interesting. I have to say that's true. Now being in the front row seat of all the coursework that we went through and stuff, what was your takeaway on the content? You know, what were some of the top things that you learned through this process?
I learned how valuable donating money can be to different causes that align with your goals and mission in life. Definitely had value in growing my self-worth and identifying my purpose. It's easy to get distracted by all the things in our, you know, surrounding environment that, you know, pulls us away from, okay, I want to have a family, I want to do this, and laying out that and then working towards that purpose in life.
Mm-hmm. So let's unpack the one about the giving money towards causes and purposes. So you said you popped that one out pretty quick. So let's break it down a little bit. What was it about it that really kind of stuck with you?
I have an iron fist with money where I like to control everywhere it goes, and letting go and donating that money to, you know, like I said, things that align with causes, it showed me the value of how much it is, you know, when you bless other people and releasing some of that control. Almost like I stopped idolizing the money that I had and I put it to where, you know, money where my mouth was, basically.
Oh, well, that's an interesting take. So you think about that, you had made money a very, very strong power in your life, and by releasing it to places where you think it could do good, you took the power out of it?
Took the power out of me controlling it all the time.
There you go. Okay. Not so much the power of money, but the power it had over you.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I have to say that's really cool. You know, I think that, you know, from working with you, one of the things that came to the surface for me is that, what did we do? 22 weeks or so of this stuff, 23 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was quite a list of topics that we covered, right, when I did the assembly of all of them. And, I had to sit and prepare each one and then work through it. Had a PowerPoint for people who listen to the podcast that didn't attend. Each week we would open up as an hour long course. We'd open up with a charter, what the charter was about, you know, why we're doing this. And then we'd spotlight a couple people with their journeys, right? So we had people who were trying to start businesses that got stuck. And then every week we put them in a hot seat and we say, hey, so what are you doing now? And then what do you got doing going forward? And I would do a Q&A with them for 5 or 7 minutes and stuff. And then they would say, hey, okay, I'm going to do these two things the next week. And they would do those two things and move it forward. And then we go into some content of a lesson for about 20 minutes. And then we break out into groups and do some work around that and then come back. And then we always wrapped up with successes. We have people who did a safe place to go. What we call it, spike in the football. You'd be able to say, yeah, I crushed it on this one thing, or I did really well. And then we would set goals every month. You know, we set short-term goals for that month, typically 3 goals, and they had to be something that were very achievable. so that people could feel what the success felt like. And so this routine went on for each month, each week, and it forced me to step into a very uncomfortable space of articulating everything that I think is valuable to be taught in elevating self-worth. So some I think I crushed and some I think I could have done better. You know, there's some that I literally procrastinated on to the last minute, but showed up and still did it. But I think, Cecil, I think, you know, being accountable to you, being accountable to the team, and then actually having the courage to end it, because I knew how people were feeling. They all wanted to keep going. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, they all said that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just saying, no, we're done, and leaving them wanting was actually a very good feeling. I just got an email from one of the guys today, Casey, who had his new website up. It looks great, man. It looks fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It was very nice. And so, you know, he really did a great job. I'd love to get him on as well as an interview. And so I talk about what he's done and what work he was doing and stuff as well. Anyways, so what do you think, you know, from your perspective, you're going to take going forward having this experience now? You put in your life, you know, what are some of the things that you think you're going to stick into your life now? Obviously donating and time and money. I think that was one of the things that you were going to do.
Right. I saw the value of how much I need to time block more. Mm. I used to time block. I kind of got away from it. And setting those boundaries in my life that I need to adhere to. That is something I picked up from doing this internship. Mm. Also having the courage to ask for things, even though I may not feel, you know, working with you, another higher up, sometimes I struggle at work, like, hey, I need you to do this, because I know, you know, that was something that asking for that I had to grow in.
Hmm. Remember there's one ask I told you had to do every time the Venmo would have to come along.
Yep. Ask you to every time.
Right. And you know why I did that?
Because I wouldn't do it.
That's exactly right. You'd let it slide.
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable with that. That was the hardest thing I had to do, was ask you to pay me.
Yeah, pay you wise. You know, I'm paying you every as an intern. It wasn't a lot of money, but I mean, but it mattered, though. It was enough to matter, wasn't it?
Oh, it was very, very much. You know, yeah. It was huge. It's probably the most uncomfortable thing you put me in or put me through.
Well, yeah, you know, because you got to ask for what you deserve, right? We had an agreement that I would pay you every 15 days on the 15th and the 30th, or the end of the month. And then that I specifically would, like, I'm doing air quotes now, forget, okay, to force you to remind me to pay you. Because I knew that that's the kind of guy that you would. You just let it slide, and that is not higher self-worth.
Gotcha.
So there was a lesson in there, little young Padawan.
Yeah, I definitely, like I said, I struggled with that.
Yeah, well, so how was it now when you asked? I mean, if we got to the last one, how was it when you asked?
I was fine. It was just second nature.
Exactly. Why?
Because I grew my self-worth and knew that I was worthy of what I was receiving.
There you go. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So there were these layers of lessons that came through. You also read the Mastermind Charter at the beginning of the meeting. Mm-hmm. How'd that feel?
It was great. There's a lot of key points in there, or key lines that really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. You know, holding each other accountable. If you're not going to show up to the meeting, you reach out and say, "Hey, I'm not going to show up," because accountability is something that a lot of us struggle with. You know, saying you're going to do something and not doing it.
Not do it. That's exactly right. And that's a low self-worth thing. People who don't have worthiness issues will say they're going to do something and they don't do it. And then not only do they not do it, they hide. Right?
Right.
And so we would get emails all the time from people saying, "Hey, I'm not going to be there."
Mm-hmm. And it was always the select few that would send the emails out too.
That's exactly right. We may have, 10 or so people out of the whole group that would actually do that. And what it does is it gets out of their head that little marble that bounces around. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done this. I should have done this. That chips away at their worthiness. But you know what? It's a real honorable way to say, "Hey, I'm not going to be there." by just sending a simple email. And that's it. It's done. It's over.
Right.
You know? And it's a nice thing. So that was another layered piece around that. Personally, the one I like the most is when everybody gives their thumbs up that they were going to be confidential with the information that they heard, that they could take the lessons away, but anytime that they would talk, they could not talk about a person or somebody's behavior or business or something like that. It was a confidential, mm-hmm. It was an honor system, but
definitely,
you know, you basically said, yes, I agree to it. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty good as well. So, you know, and lastly, you had planned when we first were talking about, you know, making changes in your life, you're like going to potentially move, you're like going to get a business and stuff like that. So how, now that you've had this under your belt here, how has that affected your confidence about making plans or your shifts and those type of things?
So within the first month of the mastermind, within the first 2 months, I started an Etsy shop. First time ever doing it. First time going from concept to putting a product on the market. I'd never done that before. Finally raised my self-worth to do that. I bought an iPad. I did vector work. I'd never done that before on a couple programs. And then towards the end, my wife and I, we were looking to move out of state, but we were procrastinated. We wanted to move to somewhere that fit both of our personalities, but that's an uncomfortable thing to do, especially when you're settled into, you know, a decent career and you have finances and family around you. So we made a trip and we came back and we felt worthy of moving to somewhere that we had been wanting to go for the last year. And now we're moving forward with that plan. My wife quit her job after raising her self-worth to find one that fulfills different things. And I was able to support that and not, normally I would probably be more controlling about that and say, no, let's just put it off. We don't have the finances. But I was like, you know, I make enough money that we can live off of my income. Go, you know, get away from that toxic environment. We're going to make this work. And I had that confidence to say it as well.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I mean, so therein lies the gem. And thanks for following my line of questions so that would kind of unfold. A lot of times people will take this journey and won't understand the progress that they've made from the beginning to the end. But when you talk about it that way, it's so obvious the progress that you made, and you were a facilitator. You know, you're on the kind of the front row watching all this stuff on fun, but you were behind the scenes moving people around to groups and readings and looking for people raising their hands and stuff like that, you know, which was super helpful for me. All right. It gave me a chance to just focus on the content and not have to worry about, you know, posting stuff in the chat and, you know, links and that kind of stuff. You know? So I'm really grateful, Cecil. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on this ride with me. And I'm quite certain we're going to do some others.
Sounds good. And thanks for having me on the ride.
This has been a Motive for Life Productions, all rights reserved.